Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report. I am your host, Austin Peterson, here with my buddy Ian Hewitt. Ian?
Good to be here.
Welcome back to the show. So today we're going to be talking about foreign policy, the issues of war and peace. Article from my buddy Ed Kreisky over at Reason Magazine is talking about the United States deploying a security team to Nigeria for a kidnapping rescue. If you don't know what's happening in this story, the militant Islamist group Boko Haram, which basically means Western education is forbidden, kidnapped 8 more girls from the village of Warabe in northeast Nigeria shortly after its leader threatened to do just that and to sell the nearly 300 girls that this group has kidnapped. The United States is offering to send, and they just actually 3 hours ago accepted, the government of Nigeria accepted the offer from the United States to send a specially formed rescue team to Nigeria, and they're urging the president to make a decision quickly, which it appears he just has done. So it looks like the name of the president, this guy's name is President Goodluck Ebele, but they haven't had much luck in finding these guys because apparently this terrorist leader, let's take a look, I want to make sure that I pronounce his name correctly. This guy's name is Abubakar Shekau, and there's been a price on his head for quite a while. Basically, the United States has been offering up money to capture this guy because he's been committing all sorts of murders and terrorist activities in Nigeria as he's been building his Islamic army. Tell us a little bit about what you know about these guys, Ian.
I don't know too much about Boko Haram at all. In terms of this conflict, though, and there are lots of similar conflicts all over the world, I'm a bit concerned that some libertarians, not a lot, libertarians are generally pretty good on this, but more libertarians than I would like, don't have a consistent foundation for their non-interventionism and have simply assumed that, well, it sounds really bad, I guess the U.S. should intervene, and haven't really made a distinction between what is moral for individuals to do and what is under the government's purview.
Right, but we have our own personal morality, and then we have the reality of the issue as the world lies. You know, sometimes we have to play the cards as they're laid in the world. And you know who got in big trouble with libertarians for an interventionist position on humanitarianism was Gary Johnson when he advocated for the United States to be involved.
Right, I'm sure Gary Johnson is in favor of the U.S. sending troops to Nigeria. Gary Johnson, when asked about Uganda, said, I would have sent a strike force to wipe them all out. Now, you talked about dealing with the world as it is. In the world as it is, and there will always be, as long as you have human beings in the world, kidnappings all over the world. Here we happen to have 200-some kidnappings concentrated in one place.
Yeah.
Why isn't it under the government's purview to stop the other, you know, thousands of kidnappings that happen around the globe?
All right, but before we get into our own philosophy on this, let's describe the situation as it lays out. This guy named Shekau, he's believed to be about maybe somewhere between 36 and 45 years old. He took over the terror group in 2009. And it looks like he's the leader of this group. There's a $7 million reward on this guy's head. He's been labeled a specially designated global terrorist for numerous bombings, including the 2011 attack on the UN complex in Nigeria's capital, killed 23 people, injured dozens more. Now listen to this. In February, Boko Haram gunmen stormed a secondary school in northeast Nigeria, locked a boy's dormitory, and set it on fire, killing those who tried to flee and burning the rest alive. The humanitarian group Open Doors International said the attack killed more than 40 young boys. pretty awful. And it sounds like this guy is not some just some weirdo, like crazy, you know, Muslim militant like you normally would hear of, that some uneducated guy. This guy sounds like a Bond villain, because apparently he's got he has a photographic memory. And so he's apparently sort of brilliant, and he doesn't talk very much. He doesn't speak English, but he is fluent in a few native languages, as well as Arabic languages. And apparently he does not even communicate directly with the group's soldiers. He's very quiet. But he's loud enough to say what he said recently. He said, "I enjoy killing anyone that God commands me to kill, the way I enjoy killing chickens and rams," he said in a recently released video after he attacked and killed more than 180 people in Nigeria's home state of Nigeria. So this guy sounds like he needs some killing. Listen to him. He says, Shakao recently took credit for the kidnapping of more than 300 girls in an hour-long video that opens with the Boko Haram fighters firing guns in the air and shouting Allahu Akbar. He says, "I kidnapped your girls," he said. "By Allah, I will sell them in the marketplace." The kidnapped girls have reportedly been forced to marry their abductors, who paid a nominal bride price of $12.
Well, while we're talking about Boko Haram, let's talk about their Islamism for a minute, mm-hmm. because a lot of people are blaming Islam for Boko Haram's actions. Mm-hmm. We recently had the president of the Minaret of Freedom Institute on the show, right. A Muslim libertarian group. And they, along with most sensible Muslims, have condemned this as being perverted and un-Islamic.
Right.
I think that
it's not a religious issue.
If you look at, for example, the Lord's Resistance Army, mm-hmm. which self-identifies as Christian.
Right.
I think most people, even a lot of, although unfortunately not all, even a lot of militant atheists understand that the Lord's Resistance Army's actions can't be blamed on Christianity.
Right.
They're just nuts. We are much more hesitant to look at these other so-called Christian groups,
right.
and say their actions can be blamed on their Christian faith. So right. I think we should apply the same standard here. Clearly, Islam teaches there's no compulsion in religion, and Boko Haram seems to have missed that part of the Quran.
Right, just like you can't say that the reason that the Soviets killed their own people was because they were atheists. It was because of their ideology. So let's throw that argument out here. This isn't about Islam. This is about
terrorism. You would say, terrorism. Atheism doesn't necessitate killing everyone who's right. not an atheist.
Exactly. So here's the thing. Let's talk about this from an issue of foreign interventionism. Now, I believe every single United States female United States senator wrote a letter to President Obama asking him to intervene, asking him to send the military in, because this is a women's issue. It's become a gender issue now, which I find fascinating that this has become an issue now that all these girls are being kidnapped and sold into slavery. But back in February, nobody knew who Boko Haram was after he stormed a boys' dormitory and burned alive 40 boys and massacred them as they tried to flee. So I love it how the international community suddenly takes interest when it's women who are being raped, kidnapped, and assaulted, because
right.
sure as hell,
Boko
boy,
Haram
nobody cares.
Has been getting attention for a while, but yeah. this is the most attention they've gotten. And yeah, as you've indicated, it's because it's an emotional story that mm-hmm. is a good, you know, media
They're killing
sensation.
Little girls. We have to do something. Why is it that it's always the United States' job to do something whenever something like this happens? Where the hell is the United Nations?
Right, I would say to these female senators, well, here's another proposition. The U.S. should control the whole planet.
Yeah.
We should establish a military hegemony mm-hmm. everywhere mm-hmm. for the explicit purpose of stopping young girls from being kidnapped.
Yeah, because it's happening in Russia.
The U.S. will control the globe militarily and stop that from happening anywhere. Obviously, that's a ridiculous idea mm-hmm. and would probably lead to worse results and more harm. But that is what you're doing here. If you support this intervention, you're signing a blank check on girls in other countries are entitled to U.S. military protection that is paid for coercively. Mm-hmm. And you're also signing, since it's impossible to stop kidnapping from happening, you're signing a blank check on the expansion of government power mm-hmm. indefinitely.
I think the problem here is the same problem that we have with the welfare state, is that the American military has become the welfare military for the entire world. Because as long as we're doling out giveaway freebies, like, you know, freeing, you know, girls from, you know, Muslim terrorists in Africa and Kony and things like that, as long as we're handing out freebies, people are just going to assume, well, why should we invest in our own defense? Why should we invest in our own military is because we know that Team America World Police is going to come in and save the day. It's the same mentality. You know, it's the safety net of the military safety net that they have to rely on. This, the American military. So, you know, I think that that's number one, the major problem with this is that nobody, everybody just assumes that the United States will do it. And then number two, where the hell is the United Nations? I thought that the whole point of the founding of the United Nations was that they were the ones who were supposed to step in with failed states, or I guess Nigeria isn't necessarily a failed state, but it's certainly a very weak third world country because they can't seem to police their own country. And remember, this is a police action.
Right, who ends up bankrolling all this stuff? Who ends up shedding the blood for all this stuff? It's always Americans, even when these things are billed and publicized as international efforts. Mm-hmm. You know, look at Libya. We heard constantly about how it was this collaboration between the U.S. and France and so on. Mm-hmm. But, you know, France sent like one ship. We were firing all these multi-million dollar cruise missiles. Mm-hmm. So it always ends up on our backs. Mm-hmm. I learned about this interesting concept recently that I think is relevant here. It's something called the Nirvana fallacy. Mm-hmm. And it's an informal fallacy that means you dismiss some policy by comparing it to this utopian, mechanically perfect ideal. So I say, here's non-interventionism and it would solve some problems. And then a progressive might retort, well, that's unacceptable because there would still be some problems in the world. Mm-hmm. I don't accept that. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not a possible actionable option to eliminate all problems in the world. Mm-hmm. And if you insist on striving for this just impossible standard and only accepting that standard, then you'll actually end up with worse results than you had to begin with. One of my favorite Ayn Rand quotes is, you can ignore reality, but you can't ignore the consequences of ignoring reality.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, here's the thing. We should be absolutely open about exactly what's happening here and the level of the United States in, involvement. Apparently, the technical experts that are heading to Nigeria from the United States will include U.S. military and law enforcement personnel skilled in intelligence, investigations, hostage negotiating, information sharing, and victim assistance, as well as officials with expertise in other areas. But U.S. armed forces were not being sent, Carney noted. So it looks as if they are not sending SEAL Team 6 or like the Marines or something like that. It looks like they're sending what they're calling technical experts.
That's funny. We're more or less acknowledging that we are the world's law enforcement.
Yeah, that's true. And so what this really is that this is a police action. And that's really what just hacks me off. Because if it was a military action, then it would be because it was something that was in the national security of the United States. So again, America becomes no longer a tool of her own defense. And our military experts, which is what this says, this is our military experts. This isn't like the active duty military, the armed forces, but our military and law enforcement personnel. So this is like FBI. This is people like, you know, the CIA and our intelligence officials that are tasked with securing the national defense of the United States, they will now be distracted from securing the security of the United States to policing the state of Nigeria. So, I mean, the thing is that some people may say, well, taking out this terrorist group before they can get big and before they can consolidate their army would be a good idea because later on they may affect the security of the United States. If that's the case, send the freaking military. Then send the Marines. Go to the Congress, get an act of Congress, have the president sign off on it, and go and send the military and blow these guys away. I don't understand why there always has to be this like skirting of the law and we're going to have it as an intelligence action. It's because I think that the way that these people do business is dishonest. And also, Ian, and this is just to bolster our argument on our side here, but I think another issue is the fact that we don't have any institutions that can handle the killing of terrorists other than government institutions. We were talking about this before the podcast, ladies and gentlemen, about the fact that the problem is that they're really, you know, as a libertarian, we want to see more like mercenaries getting involved in things like this. We want to see the Constitution being brought out, letters of mark and reprisal, such as established in Article 1, Section 8 of the United States Constitution. The Congress does have the authority to issue letters of mark and reprisal for terrorists. And I think that that's the best way to do it because then you could go and you could hire Blackwater or Zay and you could, you know, assassinate these guys and you could do it pretty quickly. The problem is that because we have failed to uphold our constitutional processes, because we have not used mercenaries to assassinate terrorists or things like this in the past, the only solutions that we have to do some killing on these terrorists is to use the armies. It's to use our law enforcement officials. So I think the problem here is, ladies and gentlemen, is that we've atrophied that section of the Constitution to atrophy, and because we have not used it, we don't have the necessary tools to go after someone and to kill a bunch of terrorists when we have to do it quickly. When it absolutely positively has to be murdered overnight, you send in SEAL Team 6. You know, you don't send in all these law enforcement, military and law enforcement personnel skilled in intelligence investigations, hostage negotiating, blah, blah. You don't send in these little, like, you know, mid-level bureaucrat police officers to do a job that should be done by trained assassins, which is really what you need here.
Now, there are private military contractors, but as usual, the private sector would be bigger if the public sector was smaller and was less monopolistic. Now, if someone were to use that to argue the point you just made, if someone were to use that to argue for sending troops to Nigeria, I would say, well, also, there is currently no private system by which we can provide medical care for everyone on Earth. Mm-hmm. Should the U.S. government therefore endeavor to provide medical care for everyone on Earth? Well, no, because we would all have to become tax serfs to pay for all that. It's not an actual option that's available to us.
Right, listen to this. Amnesty International's Adote Akwe told CBS News the delay that it took in getting this group together makes the chances of finding the girls very slim. He says some of them have already been trafficked. I suspect they're being used as sex slaves. That's what, unfortunately, what happens when girls are abducted. CBS News writes that while girls have often been preyed upon as soft targets in conflict zones, the mass abduction in Nigeria has garnered almost unprecedented outrage. Since the leader of Boko Haram, Abubakar Shekau, claimed responsibility for the abduction and threatened to sell the girls into sexual slavery. You know, here's the thing. If you're going to be a terrorist and you don't want to get caught, just don't sell girls into sex slavery, because otherwise the world doesn't give a crap. People won't care as long as you aren't selling women into sex slavery. As soon as you sell women into sex slavery, then the world cares, which is just hilarious to me. Now, listen.
Yeah, there's definitely a selective and emotional element here. And also, this is sort of a good way to illustrate the distinction between what is the government's purview and what is moral to do. A lot of people haven't thought about this, but when you think about it, there is, of course, an obvious distinction between it's moral to do something as a person, but it shouldn't be under the government's purview, because that would be dangerous and make things worse.
Right, and to bolster my point here, look, Mr. Obama says the immediate concern was rescuing the girls. He told Glaros that beyond that goal, we're going to have to tackle a pernicious problem inside that country. This is where we start get a little mission creep here. We're going to have to really tackle a problem inside that country, an organization that's carried out ruthless attacks and killed thousands of people over the last several years. All of a sudden, mission creep. Mission creep, mission creep, mission creep. Which, if you don't know what that is, ladies and gentlemen, it's a military phrase that they use to say that what starts out as a simple mission starts to creep and creep and creep and get bigger and bigger and bigger. So you could just think about all the bureaucrats that are just rubbing their hands together with glee because now they're selling women into sex slavery, and we can use this as an excuse. We're going to get some nation building going on in Nigeria, finally. Now all the social democrats can step in and start investing American resources into growing their communities and into training little girls, sending girls to school, finally. Oh, the social welfare of the Nigerians.
Right, well, any humanitarian intervention before Mission Creep even is really based on the assumption that you can externally just culturally re-engineer a country, because we're not presumably saying the U.S. now owns Nigeria. From now on, the U.S. will control Nigeria and will manage its internal affairs and be its law enforcement. We're assuming we can go in and fix the problem and leave, and the problem will be fixed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've had secret wars in Africa going on for quite a long time. This is our buddy Ed Krajewski again, writing in Reason, who says the United States has intelligence operations often run through the military throughout the African continent, according to the Washington Post, which pieced together descriptions of the surveillance network by examining references to it in unclassified military reports. This is the WikiLeaks cables. Now, the operations are run largely out of African military bases and small civilian airports. There's all sorts of airstrips that we have that are favored by African bush pilots. And we do actually have a lot of predator drone predator drones that are being used. Most of these are in Somalia, and there's also a lot of surveillance that's going on. Apparently, the American surveillance operations that are going on in Africa weren't able to locate these terrorists before, or they just weren't operating in Nigeria. Now, the military has admitted to using airstrikes and raids in Somalia, where the terrorist group Al-Shabaab held power in Mogadishu for a while. If you guys remember the movie Black Hawk Down. Otherwise, they generally limit their involvement to sharing intelligence with allied African forces so they can attack terrorist camps in their own countries. But the Washington Post has reported that operations in Africa have intensified, which is part of a shadow war against Al-Qaeda affiliates and other militant groups on the continent. So it appears as if the United States has been operating all across the continent of Africa for quite some time now. And there are already intelligence and surveillance institutions operating on that continent. And now it seems as if we're going to be growing into another country, the country of Nigeria, all because the group screwed up and started sex trafficking little girls. They probably would have been fine otherwise.
This is actually a nice illustration of how progressive humanitarian interventionism is really, in the final analysis, more interventionist and more big government than the position a lot of Republicans took during the Bush administration. Mm-hmm. Because only occasionally will you have a real legitimate threat to American security crop up anywhere, or even a perceived legitimate threat to American security. But all over the world, all the time, you're always going to have kidnappings and murders and various other sorts of human rights abuses. So if it is under the government's purview to fix those things, it must fix them everywhere and for all time.
This is why we talk about
if
we had Rand Paul versus Hillary Clinton, it would be the first time in a long time that the Democrat would be more hawkish than the Republican.
Right.
Because I can guarantee that if Hillary Clinton was president of the United States and there was sex trafficking going on anywhere in the world, we would have ourselves a nice little conflict baked up.
Yeah, because Hillary would send troops and invade a few other countries while she was at it.
Absolutely. There's sex trafficking going on all over the place. So this would have been the excuse to get into Russia and Ukraine, because you know Russia has sex trafficking going on, and of course Hillary Clinton could have used the sex trafficking.
Right. I should clarify my opening point I made about setting up a global government and being a world police for the purpose of stopping sex trafficking. That was a reductio ad absurdum argument. I was not proposing a real policy there for Hillary Clinton. So don't get any ideas.
Right. Well, you know the slang or it's the catchphrase for the United States Navy now is called a global force for good.
Right, like, I remember getting one of those in the mail and thinking, like, isn't the U.S. Navy supposed to be an American force for good?
Right, but here's the problem is they go, a global force for good. And it's a double entendre. Is it supposed to be for good as in, like, for moral good? Or is it, like, like in perpetuity, meaning a global force forever?
That's a good
and
point.
And ever. Both. And ever. We will forever police the world. Just try and stop us.
I think it's both. That's an excellent point.
It just pisses me off to no end, just because of the utter rank hypocrisy of our elected officials when it comes to what conflicts they choose to intervene themselves in. And you know, libertarians are even what we're seeing on these forums. Now let's talk about the libertarian angle for a moment. Like you said earlier, there's no consistent argument for non-intervention. You know, it's like, oh well, this is humanitarian, so like this is something I don't really get that incensed about. Well, yeah,
therefore invade
everything. There's people suffering in Eastern Ukraine right now under the boot of Russian imperialism, and still
they have little girls in Ukraine too.
Oh, they do. Yeah. Absolutely. There's little girls everywhere that need help, and there's terrorists that need killing. The problem here, ladies and gentlemen, is that you don't have a consistent argument for non-intervention. You either have a consistent principled argument for non-intervention, or you just allow yourself to slippery slope slide all over the place into more philosophical fallacies.
We need to establish there is a moral question here. What is it moral for people to do, and what should be under the government's purview? For example, we recognize it's not moral to be an alcoholic or to promote alcoholism, but we don't think it should be under the government's purview to stop that, because prohibition is disastrous and makes things worse. So we should apply the same thinking here.
Absolutely. And you know, no doubt, this is not to express any sympathy for the devil here. No doubt the terrorists of Boko Haram need some killing. The question is what are the institutional ways that we can do this? Do we do it the legal way? Do we do it the constitutional way? Or do we skirt our democratic processes and we allow the United States to use police force actions all across the world? Or do you believe in strict non-interventionism and only intervene when American military or when America is under threat, when our national security interests are under threat? Or do you think that every once in a while it's okay for us to use our resources to save little girls in Africa? So, what do you think, ladies and gentlemen? Send us your ideas on this topic. I'm sure this is something that's going to get everybody heated up. Won't libertarians think of the children? Who will save the children, ladies and gentlemen? I think that you will save the children. If you care about the children, please take care of them. I care about them, but what I don't care enough about is to come into your house, put a gun on your face, and demand that you take care of the children. If you really care about an issue, you ought to be willing to stand up and fight for that issue yourself.
I like Penn Jillette's phrase. He says that is immoral, self-righteous, bullying laziness.
That's right. Absolutely. So, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think? Send us an email to the Freedom Report. Go to thelibertarianrepublic.com and send us an email. You can send us a tip. Do you like the podcast? Do you hate it? Go to thelibertarianrepublic.com and subscribe to the Freedom Report podcast. We really appreciate you guys listening. We've got a really big and growing audience on our show, which is very exciting. And don't forget to come back every single day to your home for economic freedom and personal liberty at thelibertarianrepublic.com.